started seeing. It seemed to me that the basic struggles within the lives of many animals and of people differ mainly in detail. Though human societies have not solved the problems of our own violence and inhumanity, we tend to see, or imagine, the lives of animals as exaggeratedly brutal. Yet in some other species, life can be remarkably stable and long, and rich with affection and tenderness. The main reason we usually don't see this is that we have almost never asked another animal to show us what its day is like. I hope that you, as I, may feel awestruck by Amelia and her fellow creatures. See yourself as part of the whole vibrant living family, and feel inspired to help care for the soul of the world. This is a work of nonfiction, with one asterisk. The people, places, and events are true as I came to know them during my travels, and correct to the best of my knowledge. Amelia is a real bird. Where she went is what really occurred, and we know this because she wore a transmitter that told us her locations. The maps of her travels are made directly from the transmitter data. However, what she encountered and experienced is conjecture, based on the track of her true travels, on what I've seen albatrosses do, and what albatrosses are known to do. Thus, Amelia's travels are where she actually went in particular. Her experiences during those travels are what happens to albatrosses in general. Amelia's transmitter battery eventually died, so we don't know where Amelia is now. That matters less to her than it does to us. She doesn't need us in order to be an albatross. Albatrosses knew what they were doing millions of years before people appeared. But because people were born into a world that included albatrosses, we need them to prove to ourselves that we can be fully human. September 2001, Montauk, Long Island. Prelude. When the wind drops in late afternoon, Amelia, already hundreds of miles from land, rises on her own power, flapping more than she'd prefer. With her breast muscles pulling on the long bones of her wings, those wings biting like propellers to pull her through the air, she is using up more of the energy she's here to replenish. After rising on a small gust of breeze, Amelia lets gravity take over the work again, gliding downward and forward like a wind-driven snowflake. When her flight line dips, her wingtip traces a thin line on the sea, leaving her spare signature upon the waters. This evanescent track, the only mark of her passage, vanishes in moments, fleeting as her presence here in a body built to move only forward. When the wind returns, she sets her wings and, without anything perceivable as bodily movement, continues for another 100 miles, flying in long undulations on the propellant energy of the breeze. Hers is the billowy motion of a life under sail. As Archibald MacLeish wrote, a poem should be wordless as the flight of birds. And so Amelia is a kind of living poetry upon the ocean. These immense creatures we call albatross are the greatest long-distance wanderers on Earth. Big birds in big oceans, albatrosses lead big, sprawling lives across space and time, traveling to the limits of seemingly limitless seas. They accomplish these distances by wielding the impressive, wondrous really, body architecture of creatures built to glide indefinitely. The physics of an albatross's wing differs from that of most other birds, whose bodies are designed for powered flight. That is because albatrosses are constructed more to float in the air than to fly. Compared to many other birds, which power flight with elongated hand bones, the proportions of an albatross's wing are human-like. Long arm bones, short hand bones, almost as though humans were also meant to glide. Or as if, were we suddenly transformed into birds, we would most naturally become albatrosses. Our physical parallels with albatrosses suggest our metaphorical relatedness.